Matthew chapter 5.
Blog Talk
Matthew
Radio.
Chapter 5. I'll blow my nose before we start, too. Probably the first thing to hear. All right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. We're still looking at the Sermon on the Mount. It's the same discourse. He's not, just because he got done with the blessings doesn't mean he's through preaching. But, and we'll probably read there, chapter 5, verse 1, all the way down to verse 16. Actually, this sermon went on for a long time. If you'll look, you'll see all the letters and all the words in red in the next few chapters. I mean, the Lord just kept on preaching and preaching. All right. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." In our text, the next three verses, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, I come before your presence this morning. Lord, I know that I'm nothing. Father, I just miss the mark so often. I fall short so often. Father, I sin so often. Father, I'm grieved by my own, Lord, by my own failings and shortcomings, Lord. And I beg you, please have mercy on me this morning. And Father, I pray, Lord, as I come to this time of preaching, Father, I need you so much. Oh, Jesus, please reveal yourself through me today. Lord, I know I'm not worthy, but Lord, you've called me to this work. Lord God, I know that I'm nothing. Lord, you're all. And Lord, somehow I've got to communicate these things to everyone. Lord God, I pray for your Holy Ghost to take control of me this morning. Lord, pour yourself out through my lips. Speak, Lord, through me. Encourage and uplift. Father, I pray for everyone that's sitting in this room. And I pray, Lord, that they'd be challenged by the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, I pray that none of them would look at it as me challenging them. Because, Lord, I'm not. I'm challenging myself. Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would challenge us, draw us, awaken our spirit, make us conscious of our our lack. Make us conscious of how little we do for Thee. Make us conscious of how tiny of an impact we're making. Lord God, give us knowledge of that. Give us wisdom and understanding, Lord, and a desire to do more. Father, help us realize we're living in the last days here, and we need to be bright lights for Thee. Father, please, have mercy. Give us Your knowledge and Your wisdom. Open our hearts and minds. Give us ears to hear today. Forgive us and cleanse us. Fill us with Your Holy Ghost. Lord, please bless this service now. We ask it in the name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world." And just reading that simple phrase right there, what a weight of responsibility that throws upon our shoulders. You and I, God has called. It's not that we felt worthy of some calling to do something for God. Oh, well, I think I'll be the light of the world. I don't think that anybody comes into this with that attitude. And if they do, shame on them. Listen, it's a weight of responsibility that you and I have that God Almighty has placed upon our shoulders. We didn't ask for it, but it's there. And God's asked us to do something seemingly impossible. God's put something on us that blows our mind trying to think about accomplishing the task that He's put in front of us. We're the light, God called us, of the world. And I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to look at the world that's going on today and realize how dark it is. Just this week, the stuff that's been in the news, It's disgusting. I described it as examining a pile of vomit. I don't think anybody wants to dig through a pile of vomit, but that's what looking at the news today looks like. That's what this world looks like to me. When I look and I read the stories of children that are being abducted and sold into sexual slavery around the world, it's hideous. When I look at and I see the sodomites that are clamoring for more and more rights to protect their sin, it's disgusting. When I look and I see the women who are looking at destroying a human life within their body as their right to do so, it's disgusting. When I see the people that are doing so joking about ripping babies apart and selling their organs off and selling their tissue off, and they make multi millions and millions of dollars across this country doing so. When I read the stories of that, it's hideous to me. When I read about the people in our government that are corrupt, that are part of a child sex ring, and it's common knowledge that our government's so wicked and it's so corrupt that they won't even do anything about it. It just goes on. The powerful of this world conspire against the man that wants to serve God, the woman that wants to serve God. We live in a dark place. And I'm going to tell you, it almost overwhelms my heart to look at things like that. But it's almost impossible to turn away from it because it's everywhere. And in the middle of all that, God says, "Ye are the light of the world." And I almost want to laugh. Because I look at myself in the mirror and I think, I'm no light for anybody. I'm just struggling trying to make sense of things and trying to do my best not to fall down every step I take. How am I the light of the world, for crying out loud? This is God, how do you expect me to do anything, make a dent? Nobody wants to listen, it seems. It seems everybody's either too tired to listen or too occupied to listen, too busy spinning something in their hands, too busy staring at something in their hands, too busy fussing and fighting and arguing with each other, too busy clamoring after the things, the material things of this world, too busy indulging in their physical lust. Who's going to listen? It almost seems like that. It can get depressing. I'm going to tell you, preachers get depressed when they think about the job that's in front of them. God says you, but you know what? God's not talking to preachers here. God's not talking to pastors when he says, ye are the light of the world. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. You hearing me? He's talking to you. You are the light of the world. And he goes on to say, he said, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Now, we know, we've all, I know when God said a bushel there, he's talking about a vessel. It's about a gallon and a half is what I was able to ascertain by reading and studying. About a gallon and a half vessel. But we all been in the farmer's market at one time or other. We've all seen a basket of purple hull peas. And we'd like a bushel basket. We'd like one of them old wood baskets. God said, you don't light a candle and then stick a lid over the top of it. Because that won't do any good. Nobody will ever see it, will they? No. I mean, it might have enough ventilation in that basket to keep it from going out. But it's not going to do anybody any good because it's covered. I said, no, you put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And he said, let your light so shine. Now, this is not a suggestion. I want you to understand something this morning. It's not a suggestion by Jesus. Jesus is not saying, you know, if you have time, I know your life is busy, and I know you're chasing after your goals and dreams and hopes and all the things you want to become, and you're chasing after all the stuff you want to have, and I know you're tangled up in all kinds of relationships and things. And I know you're involved, and you probably like to watch this on TV, and you probably like to read this. You don't have much time for me. But when you get a minute, would you mind shining to the rest of the world? I don't think I say a minute, do you? He's saying, that little word there, you see it, that fourth word in verse 16? So. Let your light so, it's no end to it. It's the biggest word I can ever imagine. It goes beyond our comprehension. It goes further than we can understand. God, you say, how do you know it does? I'll tell you how. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You have to compare, let your light so shine with God so loved. As much as God loved the world, God wants us to shine. I know that's hard. I know that's a lot. I know that's throwing a whole bunch on you. But I want you to understand what God is expecting. And you might say, well, man, God sure is expecting a lot out of me. Yeah, he's expecting a lot out of all of us. But here's the great thing. I'm gonna give you some relief here in a minute. But he says, let your light so shine before men. Why would I do that, Jesus? Well, that they may see your good works. So they may see the light shining. So they may see that I'm in there and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not glorify you, not give you awards and plaques and pats on the back and tell you what a great person you are and make your head swell up and make you feel so good about yourself and you feel like, hey, I'm a better Christian than everybody. And you walk around with the smugness and that self-superiority complex some people get when they've served God a while and people have patted them a little too hard and petted them and told them how good they were. Sometimes it goes to people's heads. That's not what God's trying to tell you to do. No, he's already told us what we need to be. See, remember, this is the same sermon as the sermon. It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's the same sermon as the Beatitudes. And before that, Jesus told us to be meek. Not to seek to be at number one, but to seek to humble ourselves before God and let God put us where he wants us and do with us what he wants us. That's what he's already told us earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. So we have to remember that everything he's saying to us here is prefaced by, first of all, having nothing, being poor in spirit, and having God come into our life and fill our life. It also has to do with us mourning over our sin. It also has to do with, again, with us humbling ourselves under the hand of God and saying, Lord, whatever you want, not as I will, but as thou will. Just as Jesus did in the garden, when he submitted himself to his Father's will to go to the cross, we're to humble ourselves like that and pick up our cross and carry it for Jesus' sake. And in doing that, we are shining the light to the world. Y'all understand what I'm saying? All right, let's get into the message a little further. Daniel 12:3, I know I've quoted this before, and you'll remember it as soon as I start probably. Daniel 12:3, the Bible says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I studied that word firmament. I thought I knew what it meant. I've learned since that I don't know for sure that I do know what firmament means. But do you know that the word firmament means solid? Do you know that the Hebrews believed that there was a vault above the earth? And that everything was in within that vault. I don't know whether that's true or I don't know. I've never been above the earth far enough to know what's there. And I'm not going to get off into something else. But I do want to say to you that the Bible says it's the firmament. Firm means solid. Okay, and in the firmament, that's where the stars are. And when you go out at night, and especially if you're out in the middle of the country where there's no city, street lights around, and car lights and campfires and everything else that shines, that draws away from the darkness, all there is the moon in the sky and the stars. And God has put it there in such a great contrast with that vast black sky at night, and there's nothing but dark black nothingness, and scattered amongst that black nothingness are brilliant stars that shine so bright in contrast to that dark sky. Very much like God is comparing us to shining in this dark world amongst those that are lost, the heathen, that want nothing to do with God. God compares us to those stars shining compared against that backdrop of that black sky. Matthew chapter 13. Turn over there. We're almost there in our Bible. You got it open in front of you. Go ahead and turn over there with me. Matthew 13. In verse 37, Matthew 13 and verse 37, Jesus had just finished teaching a series of parables. The one on the grain of mustard seed, he taught a number of parables in Matthew 13, but the parable of the sower, the wheat and the tares, the mustard seed, and then Jesus, he got down to verse 37, well, actually, verse 36, the Bible says, and also the parable of the leaven, in verse 36 it says, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Again, we have the comparison, the light and the dark. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus has boiled down everything that's going to happen into a short little delivery. He's telling them about what's going to happen at the end. And notice the next thing that he says there in verse 43. Then he says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Let me tell you something. Right now, he says, we can shine as the brightness of the firmament and the stars. But you know what? He says, then we will shine as the sun, brighter than all of that. So there's something to this shining for Jesus stuff. There's something to this. He wants us to shine. How do you shine? I don't know how to shine. Do you know how to shine? Can you get up and just shine? Does anybody in here even understand how to shine? We're going to find out this morning. See, he's given us all this stuff to talk about shining, all right? He's told us to shine. He's told us we're to be lit like a candle. We're to shine and give light and glorify our Father. It all sounds real good and everything. Sounds great, but how? How? How do I shine? Well, turn in your Bible to John chapter 8. We're going to look at it. John chapter 8. God wants you to shine. Amen? I think maybe some of us will say, well, Lord, I'd shine, but I don't know how to shine yet. Well, I want to give you some help. I really do. I want you to, when you leave out of here today, or when the person turns this broadcast off, or wherever they may be, I want them to know how to shine for the Lord. All right. How do I shine? John chapter 8, and we'll start there in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. Hold on a minute. You just said, ye are the light of the world. And now here he's saying, I am the light of the world. Who's the light of the world? He said, I'm the light of the world. Now notice the next thing he says. He that followeth me, key to it right there. He that followeth me. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Stop right there. Stop right there. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Does it mean that, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I ain't going to hell, that's good enough. Is that it? That's not following him. That's being his child. There have been many sons born to a father, and that son grew up not having anything to do with his father, and his father died without having a relationship with the son. Okay? You could not undo the fact that they are blood kin, that is the natural born child of that father, but yet they had no relationship and never established one. Okay? You still can't change the fact that that's the father's son. But following him would be to listen to the father and the son to want to be like the father or follow in the father's footsteps or learn from the father, because that's the father that was given to that child to raise him. It's no different with us than God. God expects us to follow after Jesus Christ. He expects us. And how does a father and son build a relationship? Well, they have to talk daily. They have to talk often. They have to speak one to another. They have to share one's heart with the other, and vice versa. And the son comes to the dad and says, Dad, I got to deal with this in my life. How do I deal with this? And the father says, well, here's how you deal with it, son. And they back and forth. That's how relationships established. That's how a bond is built. That's how a lasting relationship happens. That's how you follow after someone. All right? When we've all seen kids get all wrapped up in sports figures or somebody in the entertainment world, and what do? They want to know everything about them. They want to know what they like, what they don't like, what they wear, what they don't wear, what they eat, what they don't eat. They want to know about all kinds of things about them. They want to know where they went to school, all the things they want to know about them. All right, all this stuff. Why aren't we like that with Christ? I mean, I'm not saying where he went to school and what he likes to eat. I'm saying, but why aren't we following after him? Why aren't we seeking him every day? If we want to follow after him, then we're getting to know him. Like we said, that's the whole point of this whole line of preaching, is to get to know Jesus, right? So we're going to get to know him. We've got to follow him. We've got to spend time with him every single day. We've got to have interaction with Jesus Christ. And as we have interaction with Jesus Christ, the Bible says we're changed from glory unto glory. As God works in our life, as God teaches us, as God matures us and shows us that things that we've got in our life are not lined up with him at all, we need to get rid of that and draw close to him. And we won't miss those things anymore. The ways about us that God doesn't want in our life, the things that are dishonoring to him, the things that cast a shadow over our testimony. God says, no, you don't need that in your life. Come to Christ. And the Bible tells us that we're conformed into the image of his son. That's what God wants. So as we're conformed, the Bible tells us over in Romans chapter 8, conformed to the image of his son, what are we doing? We're starting to shine. Because the light doesn't belong to us. It's his light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. That word walk, it doesn't mean to physically walk. It means he will not live his life in darkness. You cannot live your life with Jesus Christ every single day and live your life according to this world every single day. You can't do it. You cannot straddle that fence and please God. You just cannot do it. The Bible says that person shall have the light of life. That's God's wisdom. That's understanding of God's way. That's understanding of God's desire for you. God says if you follow him, he will give it to you. He'll put that life, that light in you, and you know what? It will be visible to other people. Jesus told his disciples in chapter 9 and verse 5, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Okay? He was telling that to a group of believers who were there in front of him. As long as I'm down here, I am the light of the world. Well, there's a problem. He went back to heaven. He didn't stay down here. He died and was resurrected. He went back to heaven. Jesus, the light of the world, has gone back to heaven. Okay. Turn to John 14. John 14. Some of y'all getting sleepy. I got to hurry. John 14. John 14, start with verse 16, if you will. So again, Jesus went back to heaven. The light of the world went to heaven. Okay. Well, let's look at how he's provided, okay? John 14:16-19. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, which means I'll ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Another. Why did he call him another one? Because, look here, Jesus comforted them. Him being with them, his presence there with them daily brought comfort to them, right? Being able to get up and walk, spend time with Jesus every day in a physical form, a physical body, I mean, that brought comfort to them, great comfort to them. They knew he was in charge. They knew here. We're walking and talking with the Son of God each and every day. This is God walking in flesh before us. I mean, what comfort that brought to them. But he went to heaven, you see. And he said, I won't leave you comfortless. He said, I'll ask the Father. I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That word another doesn't just mean another. It means another one just like me, that he may abide with you forever. Who are we talking about? The Bible says, even the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Ghost of God. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. I know him. Hey, listen, I'm saved. The moment I got saved, the Spirit of God indwelt my body and my spirit. He lives in me. Every time I open the Bible, he helps me understand it. Every time I pray and I'm dealing with things that I don't even know how to get it out, listen, God still gives me peace because the Holy Ghost of God goes on my behalf and speaks to God on my behalf. Listen, when I need God to do something, it's not me that does it. It's the Holy Ghost of God that does it through me. Listen, there have been times where I couldn't even find my keys. I walk around the house, I couldn't find them nowhere. And I said, Lord, show me where my keys are. Holy Ghost of God, you was with me when I set them down. Where did I set them down at? And you know what? Within seconds, usually, I can walk right to where they're at. I know that's a trivial little thing, but I'm going to tell you, he works in all phases of our life. That's his ministry. You see, Jesus left spirit in us. So he said, I am the light of the world. Well, who do you think he's referring to now? He's talking about the Holy Ghost of God living in us. That's the candle of the Lord. The Bible says, and the world can't receive him. And the world seeth him not. And the world doesn't know him. So if the world can't see him and the world don't know him, how is the world going to find out about him? How's the world? Jesus went back to heaven. The Holy Ghost of God living inside of us. He's not out where anybody can see him. They don't know who he is. He said, but you do. You do. Right? He dwelleth with you. You spend time with him every day. Lots of, you know what? I dare say some of us have never, ever even addressed him. I bet you there's a lot of people on the sound of my voice who've never spoken one word to the Holy Ghost of God. It's Especially a lot of Baptist people, because they're scared of the words Holy Ghost. See, that's something Pentecostals say. Got the Holy Ghost. Have you got the Holy Ghost? Did you ever get the Holy Ghost? I mean, they ask you like it's something, a commodity you can go get. No, he came in. He moved into me the moment that I got born again. He has never left, and he never will leave. I'm going to keep on going here. The Bible says he shall be in you. You know what? He's never going to leave. Amen? Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. In other words, you're mine. I saved you. Not one second of your existence. Wake up and look at me. Not one second of your existence from this moment on, from this moment on, will God ever leave you for one split second. If God left you for one split second, I believe the devil would kill you right there because he's so mad you got saved. Amen? But I can tell you right now, God has told us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. You say, well, Jesus is in heaven, but his Holy Ghost is in you and he ain't never going to leave. That's the light of God living inside of your being, comforting you, helping you, strengthening you, educating you, walking with you, giving you courage. Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'm going to come. I'll be there. He said, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. He said, no, I'm going to go to the cross. I got to die and I'm going back to heaven. He said, but ye see me because I live. Look here. Because I live, ye shall live also. He's not talking about physical life. He's talking about eternal life. He's talking about something this world don't know nothing about. Amen. He's talking about the power of God. Amen. The life-giving power of God that we have when we came to Christ and got saved. John 16. Turn over a couple chapters. John 16, verse 7. So let's talk about the Holy Ghost a minute. So Jesus has told us he's gone to heaven. He's the light of the world. He's left us here with the light of the world in us. Let's look at his ministry. How does the light manifest? How does the light shine? I don't want to just do it however I want to do it. I don't want to just suppose I understand how this works. I want the Bible to tell me how it works. John 16, verse 7. Look there. Here's what the Holy Ghost is going to do. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, or it's good for you, that I go away. I'm sure when he said that, when Jesus looked at them and said, hey, it's good for you, it's expedient that I go away. They thought, no, Jesus, no, we don't want you to go anywhere. Oh, no, Jesus, don't go, don't go. He said, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. You see, I've got to go so the Holy Ghost of God can show up. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Do you remember when he did? Before he ever left. He didn't leave and all of a sudden one day the Holy Ghost showed up. No, you remember he was in the upper room and he breathed on him and he said, receive you the Holy Ghost. That moment on, the believers began to be indwelled with the Holy Ghost of God. He had not left yet. Amen? He said, if I depart, I will send him unto you. And what's he going to do, Jesus? The Bible says, when he has come, the Holy Ghost, who lives in us, he will reprove the world of sin. What does that word reprove mean? It means he'll convict the world. Can I ask you a question? How do you reckon he's going to do that? Look at me. How do you reckon the Holy Ghost of God is going to convict the world of sin? Is he going to float out of us and go somewhere and start bringing conviction on people? I mean, it only makes sense that the way that the Holy Ghost is going to convict the world of sin is by shining the truth out the mouth of his children. Amen? God is going to use us to proclaim the truth of God, proclaim the word of God, and it's going to shine forth out of us. And when the truth comes out of our mouth, when we teach the truth of the word of God, when we proclaim what the word has said and we know to be true, and we speak it, God, Holy Ghost, uses the word of God and he drives it into the hearts of sinners and he convicts them. He doesn't do it apart from his ministry in us. He does it through his ministry in us. It's not you. It's not me. It's not how I say it or how you say it or how soft you say it or how loud I say it or what kind of personality I have versus your personality or whether somebody's a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or whatever they may be. It's the fact that they open their mouth and the Holy Ghost of God poured forth the Word of God out the mouth. That's shining. The Bible says when he's come, when he's in you, he'll reprove the world of sin. He'll show them their sinners. You say, judge not. Well, that's somebody trying to tell the Holy Ghost to shut up. Do you realize that? All these little liberal libtards around the world, how to judge not, lest you be judged. I mean, that's the only verse of the Bible they know, but they just polyparrot that sucker one after another. Judge not, judge not, judge not. I just don't believe judging nobody. I think nobody will judge nobody. That's because they don't understand the ministry of the Holy Ghost in the Christian. Do you realize that? They have embraced the nonsense talk of this world. They have embraced the politically correct mindset, which is destroying religious freedom in America. I hope you're hearing me this morning. I'm trying to give you some proof. That's why we're at where we're at. That's why America's going downhill, because Christians are the light of the world, and the light's dim, and the world's darkness is overtaken. America's darkness is about to smother out what little light there is. And it's not because the world is over. Darkness can't overpower light. The truth of the matter is the light has been dimmed by the ones carrying the light. It's not the world's fault. It's the church's fault. That's why the Bible says judgment must begin at the house of the Lord, the house of God. Amen. Judgment has to start here. That's why God tells us to examine ourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Look and see if your light's shining. Look and see if anybody can see it. Are you spending time with God? Are you exercising your faith as a Christian? Or does anybody else know you're a Christian? Could anybody else tell you're a Christian if you didn't open your mouth and say it? Can they see it in you? Does the Holy Ghost of God work in your life at all? Again, he says he'll reprove the world of sin, and he'll reprove the world of righteousness, and he'll reprove the world of judgment. What all does that mean? Well, he said, in other words, the Holy Ghost will convict. I'm going to use the word convict so you understand. He'll convict of sin because they believe not on me. And you know what? He's going to show them through the Word of God that they're not trusting Christ, that they're just living in sin and they could care less, and he's going to bring conviction on them. How's he going to bring conviction of righteousness? The Bible says of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Well, they can't watch Jesus walk around. They can't listen to Jesus' words. They don't have him to watch. They got to watch you. So where does righteousness come from? Well, the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What does the Bible tell us? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Ta-da! There it is, right in front of you. The more you and I are filled with the Holy Ghost, the more we are going to be able to live righteously. The more people will be able to see righteousness in our life. The more they're able to see righteousness in our life, they're convicted because they don't have righteousness in their life. Am I making sense? That's good. I wonder. Sometimes it's like, is everybody dull of hearing this morning? Nobody's looking at me. And I hope you're hearing this. I hope this is sinking in. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. And I hope you're taking it to heart. And I hope and pray that you want to shine. I want to shine. I want God to be pleased with me. I want God to be able to use me. I don't want my life to be a waste. I don't want to wake up someday when I'm. God left me live to be 70, wake up one day and say, I've thrown my life away. I don't want to wake up like that and realize I just lived for me year after year after year after year after year and did nothing for God. What a nightmare to come to the end, as so many people have done, to come to the end of a life and realize that they didn't shine at all. And they have nothing. They have nothing to come to the judgment seat of Christ with but a handful of wood, hay, and stubble that means nothing. And for them to stand before Christ and realize that their life was nothing but a waste. He's going to reprove of judgment. The Bible says because the prince of this world is judged, we are to proclaim that. That the devil will not win, that the devil has already been judged, that the devil's already defeated. Who's to do that? The Holy Ghost through us. You see, we're not called to just give our opinion. God never called us to judge based on our own feelings. Look up here. Can I say this without hurting anybody's? Well, I'm probably going to hurt your feelings, but the feelings, Martin Luther said this. He said, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. I'll stand on God's unchanging word till spirit and body sever. And though this world may pass away, God's word shall last forever. I can't go on my feelings. I can't judge things in this world based on my feelings. My feelings are based in flesh. Understand that. Our feelings are rooted and based in our flesh. They are controlled by this world and its impact on us. It's controlled by external circumstances, external stimuli. Those are feelings. Forget your feelings and rely on God. Your feelings lie to you. Feelings keep us from doing what God has told us to do. Well, I don't feel like it, or I just feel like this, or I feel. Forget a bunch of feelings. It's about what God has said. I can tell you right now, your feelings are hurt for doing this, and your feelings don't feel like that. Get next to God, and you'll feel something you ain't never felt. Amen? You start doing things to please God, your feelings will change. Amen? I'm going to tell you, you get God's hand on you, you forget about feelings. The only thing you want to feel is God's presence and His touch. Amen? That's right. I don't care if anybody likes it or not. That's right. He said, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, what will He do? He'll guide you into all truth. You say, I don't know what to do. Okay, well then ask the Spirit of God to guide you, and He'll show you what to do. I don't know how to say it. The Holy Spirit of God will guide you and put the words into your mouth to say it right. Look, I can't do anything on my own. I can't do anything right to please God. I know that. We're stupid to think we can. We have to go. We are so dependent on the Spirit of God, and we don't even realize how dependent we are. And we try day after day after day after day, like a dumbest animal, trying to do it time and time again in our strength. How many days have we tried that? How many days have we really tried to get up and live in our wisdom, in our strength, in our way, and failed again and again and again and again? But yet we get up and do it again as if we're just insane as we could be. No. The God of all glory, the God of heaven, the God of all creation has given us so generously His word to us. He so generously gave us a Savior. He so generously left us with His Spirit. And He has given us a task to shine. He's told, Jesus stood that day at the foot of that mountain, looking at that mess of unwashed humanity that came to Him, corrupt in every way, physically broken, spiritually maimed, possessed with devils. And just by the speaking of His word, listen, He brought them from death unto life, healed them. He restored them. Their men and women and children made whole. And now He stands before them and He tells them that you are to go into this world where they didn't want you before. They don't want you now. You're called out. You're not theirs. You're mine. And I'm going to empower you. You won't have power of your own. I will empower you, and you will go forth and shine to those dark people that don't like you. Oh, they'll love it when I shine. No, they won't. He just said a few verses before, hey, they're going to hate you, they're going to revile you, they're going to persecute you for my sake. He's already told us that. But you see, it's not my place to stand up against their persecution. It's not my place to bow up against their reviling me. I am to take it just like Jesus took it, and I'm to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing to me. Lord, they're doing it because they hate you, not me, and I'm going to go ahead and be what you want me to be, and you'll give me the comfort in the midst of it. That's why he's a comforter, you see. He comforts us because we can't get comfort in this world not doing what he's asked us to do. I hope this is making sense. He shall not speak of himself, the Bible says. Verse 13. In other words, the Holy Ghost of God. Listen, you find any preacher, you find any so-called Christian anywhere who stand up telling you, well, you need the Holy Ghost is going to do this to you, and he's going to do that. And you need, I mean, they're bragging on the Holy Ghost, and they're lifting up the Holy Ghost above Jesus. I can tell you right now, you better watch them folks. The Holy Ghost never magnifies himself, ever. The Holy Ghost ministry is to magnify Jesus Christ. And that's all. Amen? That's why he's here, to magnify Jesus Christ. You say, why? Because he is the Spirit of Christ. The Bible, Jesus said in verse 14, he shall glorify me. Amen? Anybody who has the Holy Ghost of God stirring in them will give glory to Jesus. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He is there to work in Jesus' stead. Now, how will he do all this? There's only one way he's going to do all these things that we just read. If you cease from your own way and you submit to God, that's the only way. God may bring you to a fork in the road today, and there's your way and there's his way. As long as you go your way and you follow your feelings, you ain't never going to be what God wants you to be. You're never going to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, and you're not going to shine. You're going to be dark, and the world ain't never going to see that Christ is in you, and you'll never make an impact, and you're going to die and stand before him, and you're going to be ashamed of yourself. Or you can stand at that crossroads, and you can take God's way, and you can let the Holy Ghost of God guide you, comfort you, teach you, lead you, and work through you. But you have to submit to God. You've got to come and look to yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm not what God wants. I'm not measuring up to what he's expected of me. And I know I'm not bringing him, I know I'm not bringing God pleasure with the way I'm doing things. And Lord, I know that I haven't been letting the Holy Ghost of God lead me and steer me and speak through me like he wants to. And Lord, I need that. I know I need that. And I don't want to fail you. And I don't want you displeased with me. I want your blessing and your favor in my life. God, please help me. He will. He will, but we've got to submit. We got to lay ourselves, like I read, I was quoting this morning from that song we sang. We've heard the Macedonian call today. You see, the early New Testament church, when God said, go over yonder, them people over there need you. They didn't say, well, God, it's a long way over, and it costs a lot of money, and Lord, we got friends back here. And they just went. They laid their life down on the altar of God and said, we're going to do what you say, Lord. The golden offering at the cross we lay. He said, submitting to God. Galatians 5:22-26. So if we submit to God, here's what will show up in our life. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, the evidence of the Spirit of God being in you and living in your mortal body is what? The Bible says it's love. That's agape. That's God's love. That's unconditional love. That's unmerited love. That's not, hey, you love me first, so I love you back. Or you're good to me, so I'll be good back to you. That's it doesn't matter to me if you hate me or you're spiteful to me or what you are to me. I'm going to love you because God loves you. And I'm going to share with you that God wants to save you from your sins. And I'm going to take the time, even though you hate my guts, I'm going to take the time to try my best to communicate to you in God's power and God's wisdom that you need to be saved. That's what that is. That's love. You can't love somebody without wanting them to go to heaven. You can't love somebody to hell. You can't, you say, well, I don't care one way or the other. Well, you don't love them then. I don't want them to go to hell, but I ain't gonna spend my time trying to talk to them. Well, then you don't love them. And God says the fruit of the Spirit of God being in you is loving. That's the first thing he says. That's the very first thing he says. If we don't have that, what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? If I could do this, if I could do that, if I could speak in language of tongue of men and angels and have not charity or have not God's love, agape, it profiteth me nothing. If I could bestow my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned, I could die a martyr's death, and I did not do it in love. It is nothing. It's worthless. So you, whatever you're doing with your life, however you're living it, you can do all of that, but if you don't do it in love, it's worthless. Fruit of the Spirit of God's joy. Do you have joy in your life? That's evidence that God's shining in your life. You have joy. See, it's hard to have joy and be miserable at the same time. It's hard to have joy and be grouchy and mad all the same time. You can't do that. It's hard to have joy and be jealous at the same time. It's hard to have joy and be envious at the same time. It's hard to have joy and be those things. You're not shining. There's a dark cloud when those things are present. Do you have peace? That's evidence of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, we live in a world of turmoil. We live in a world of destruction. We live in a world of sin. And in the midst of it, people can have peace. God's people can have peace. Peace. I know it's going to be all right. God's already taken care of it. He's already told me. I know the end. And we win. So I can have peace. Even though I can't, and maybe right now around me, things are not peaceful. But I can have peace. I remember our friend Jesse, Mike Edwards, telling me about one night up there, and he lived in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And he was telling me about one night, and there was that's Tornado Alley. There's always a tornado bearing down on him somewhere in Oklahoma. So he's living in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and the weather report says a tornado on the ground heading that way, and his wife and his daughter was panicking and freaking out. And they're like, come on, let's get in the storm shelter. He said, I ain't going nowhere, I'm going to bed. Going to bed, said, God knows where I'm at, and he wants to kill me, he'll kill me. I ain't got nothing to worry about. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to bed. That's peace. That's peace right there. You say, well, he ain't had no sin. No, he's trusting God. He's trusting God. That kind of faith will make a tornado go around the house. That's peace. And the world don't know that. See, when a Christian has that, the world says, wow, look at that. That's amazing. How is that possible? That's God shining. That's giving glory to God. I ain't got time to go through every one of these fruits, but listen, you understand, long-suffering, not having a quick hair trigger, not having a snap temper. I'm going to tear your head off. We all got to work on that. God needs to work in us to cut that down where it's not there. Because you know what? When the world sees us just fly off the handle at some little something, what does the world say? Well, that ain't God. I thought you said you's a Christian. You see, the world's able to identify God a whole lot better than we think they are. Because you know what? They know what darkness looks like, don't they? They live in darkness. They're able to spot light. Can they see it in you? It's a good question. Can they see it in me? Good question. I ain't got time to go through all that. Now let me jump to 24 and 25. The Bible says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The flesh and the affections of the flesh and the lusts of the flesh are that bushel basket that hides the light. That's my desires that go against God's desires, my thoughts that go against God's thoughts, my ways that go against God's ways are that bushel basket that keeps people from seeing the light of God in my life. And the Bible says, they that are Christ, listen, those who I'm not just saying those that are saved, because I know there are people who are saved who fall down and get back up. And while they're falling down, you can't say, well, they're not Christ. Oh, they are, but they got a bushel basket covering them. And they're not showing that they're Christ. But those who are truly following Christ have crucified the flesh. They've said, you know what, I can't keep covering my light up because God wants it to shine. And every time they notice, oh, no, the light's not shining, they want it to shine again. You don't stay down, in other words. You get back up. I mean, a righteous man falls, but he gets back up. The light may dim, but the light comes back. Amen? If we live in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in us, if we spend time with God, the Bible says, let us also walk in the Spirit. So not just, it's not just, we're meeting with God in a secret place, and we're supposed to do that. But we don't leave God in a secret place. We take God out into the public where people can see him with us, in us, through us. The Bible said, let us not be desirous of vainglory. Let's don't seek to have people brag on us and pat us on the back. We're not looking for somebody to make us swell our head up, say, oh, you're such a good Christian. I don't want to hear that. I want God to get glory. He said, provoking one another. Let's don't be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Oh, I wish I was a Christian like her. I wish I was like him. No. Or I wish I had everything they have. Look at that preacher boy. He got everything. No, look. God says, forget all that worldly stuff. Let's seek a relationship with God. See, God will provide us with an opportunity to shine. He will. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just. The path of the just. The just person, the saved person's way is as the shining light. Well, my path, if it's to shine, I'm not breaking it, am I? No, God is the one who's, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So God is putting things in my path and showing me how to walk. So the path of the just is a shining light. So when I'm doing what God wants me to do, God's opening those opportunities for me. God's putting those opportunities for the light to shine through. God's putting people in front of me that need him. He's setting me up to shine, you see. I can't do it. I don't know where to shine. I don't know how to shine. God is the one who's doing everything in me and through me, but I have to be willing to let him do it. I have to come to him and say, Lord, I want to shine for you. And he says, and that path, it shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That's when we see Christ face to face. So as we begin to walk with God, and he's teaching us how to shine, and we have opportunities to shine as we grow and our light becomes brighter and brighter, then there's more and more opportunities to shine. And on and on and on until we're shining so bright, God says, okay, it's time to come on up here. But God warns us. Listen, God warns us about the danger of the bushel basket. Romans 13:11-14, it says, and that knowing the time, that it is now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. A lot of folks just sleeping on God. They're not doing anything with their life. And the Bible says, and now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. That's that bushel basket. Cast it off and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. That's all the flesh. That's all the things that put the light out. He says, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't even keep the bushel basket around. Get rid of it. Shine for the Lord. Philippians 2:15-16, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, in this darkness of this hour we live in, among whom you shine as lights in the world, God says. Like the stars in the black sky, how they shine and twinkle. God wants you to shine and twinkle in his love and his knowledge, his mercy and his wisdom, and the salvation that's in Christ Jesus the Lord. And he says you shine holding forth the word of life. That's how you shine. Holding forth not the physical book in your hand, but the word that's hid in your heart. In word coming out your mouth, and in deed coming out your hands. That's what shining is all about. And the Holy Ghost will do the reproving. The Holy Ghost will do the convicting. That's not our job. Our job is just to hold forth the word of light, to shine on this dark path that we're walking. He said that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And Paul said, when I look around and I see all of you there and I see God pleased with you, I'm going to rejoice. That, listen, I didn't run in vain. Listen, he said that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I realize when I get there and I see you there and I see God blessing you, rewarding you, I'm going to rejoice and say, praise God. It was all worth it. My family turned their back on me. My friends wouldn't have anything to do with me. I was hated. I was beat up. I was spit on. I was left for dead, stoned to death, left for dead. All that, it was worth it. All those nights that I sat in that prison while the rats crawled around my feet and the bugs crawled up the walls and I sat in the filth of the disgusting dungeon. It was all worth it when I get there and I see the labor was not in vain. See, we're born to shine, folks. 1 Peter 2:9, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Listen, that ye should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called us away from that. Let's don't go back to the bushel basket. We're born to shine. God made us born again to shine for him. And if you ain't shining, listen, don't lie to yourself about it. 1 John 1:5-7 said, this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, oh, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I walk God, I love the Lord, blah, 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 and walk in darkness, you can say what you want to. We lie and do not the truth. There's a whole world full of people, they are quote unquote Christians, but they're not really saved, you see. They're just religious folks who don't have a relationship, they don't really know Christ at all, and they're just trying to walk around like a candle that ain't never had a match to it. They can't shine. They might be like a fragrant candle. Might smell good, but you ain't going to never get them lit because they ain't no the Spirit of God ain't in them. Are you shining? Is there any light in you? The Bible says we walk in the light as he is in the light. Oh, that requires submission. We have fellowship one with another. You know what? You can get around other Christians. And then you put a bunch of Christians together. Guess what? You get a bunch of Christians together and they start talking about Jesus. Boy, the light just goes beaming. Amen? Scares people to get around that kind of thing. People that are in the darkness. I'm going to tell you, the last place a lost person that wants to live in sin wants to be is a revival meeting. Or a church service, for that matter, where God's being praised. Makes them uncomfortable. Amen? They don't want their darkness exposed. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us of all from all sin. In all things, Titus 2:7-14, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. That's what God expects of us. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Shine. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness. Our doctrine is supposed to be lined up with this Bible. There should be no darkness in our doctrine. It should be nothing but light, gravity, down to earth, sincerity, seriousness from our heart. The Bible says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. In other words, lights that will shine bright. And I'm going to close with this thought. Listen to me. God, again, he wants us to shine. But I'm going to tell you something else. Not only does he want us to shine, but he wants us to help one another to keep shining. You know what? God wants us to encourage one another to shine. Because you know what? If we don't encourage one another, it's easy to feel like, well, nobody's watching me. God's watching you, but it's easy for us to feel like nobody's watching me. I can ease off a little bit and it'll be all right. But God tells us in Hebrews 10:24, listen to what it says. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So not only are we commanded to shine, but we're commanded to encourage one another to shine. Now listen, if a bunch of people who came full of devils and bunged up as anybody's ever been bunged up in the world. If they can come to Jesus and Jesus can fix them, he can fix you. If God can make them shine, he can make you shine. But you have to take accountability for your own light. Is it in you? If it's not, you need to holler at God. You need to say, Lord, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I want shine for you. If your light's just grown dim, you need to say, Lord, I've been backslidden, and I want your power in my life. Lord, please empower me. Lord, please fill my life. Please, Lord, show me what needs to be out of here. Lord, help me get this bushel basket off. Take it off of me and let me shine. I don't know where yet. I don't know what you're dealing with right now, but I know this. God knows, and God has shown you in your heart and your life today if you're not shining like you're supposed to be. And if you're not, I urge you, while we go to the Lord in a word of prayer in a minute, to go to him in prayer and say to him, Lord, I want to shine. I don't want to be in darkness anymore. I don't want to be dark. I don't want to be dim. I want to shine. I want to give you glory till you come back and get me. And then when I come and see you, it'll be glorious. And I won't have to hang my head in shame because I lived in darkness and lied to myself. Don't lie to yourself another moment. If we're not walking in the light, we're lying to ourselves. Let's seek to please God. Let's go to him in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I come before you, and I plead with you, Father, Lord, that you speak to souls right now. Lord, I pray, Father, that you reveal to us, Lord, where we lack. I pray you show us, Lord, the degree of our shining in this world. Lord, somebody that never heard of us, that just met us and was around us for a little while, Lord, I wonder if they would realize that we're saved. If our words, our actions would cause them to say, maybe this person is a believer. Lord God, I just pray that we'd be conscious of that. Lord, that we'd not cast a shadow upon our testimony. Lord, that we'd not cast a pall, Lord, over your magnificence. Father, I just plead with you, please, Holy Ghost of God, work in us. Holy Ghost of God, bring us under conviction. And I pray that you, that Lord, that when we get under conviction, that we'd submit. And Lord, once we submit ourselves to you, fill us and flood our life with the presence of Jesus Christ. Lord, that others might not only see him in us, but Lord, that we might hold forth the word of life. Lord, that they might hear the words of Jesus Christ through us. Please, Father, bless us now. Lord, please cleanse our life and fill us. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the word of God today. We love you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.